are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshi on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
Get to people, yeah.
What are you gonna do?
us with your night. Running like a red disease. Running like a red disease. Ghetto people.
Stop giving up yourself.
Stop doing what you're doing to yourself, young. You got to learn to love yourself. Ghetto people.
You are listening to African Perspectives, where we view the issues of our day from an African worldview and African-centered perspective. This program is unapologetically African. It is a custom in the African tradition to ask elders for permission to speak, having been granted permission. To our ancestors, whose shoulders we stand on, to our elders, whose shadows we walk in, I greet you, my dear brothers and sisters, in the language of one of the greatest civilizations on this planet. It gave the world the basic disciplines of knowledge of science, math, architecture, music, writing, law, religion, you name it, we did it. The Greeks called it Egypt, but they called themselves Kemet, and Kemet means land of the blacks. I greet you all in the Kemetic language, the word of peace, Hotep. It is truly an honor and a privilege to pour libation because we truly do stand on the shoulders of those who came before us. We're going to use water because water has no enemies. Water is the great cleanser, the great purifier. Everything that on the planet that lives, it needs water, from a tiny microscopic organism to a tall redwood tree. We pour water into the earth to invoke the spirits of our ancestors, and we say the word Ashe, which simply means so be it. So we pour this libation to God for all that God has done and for all that God will do. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to Mother Africa, birthplace of all humanity, everyone who has lived, everyone who will live in the future. We all have a common ancestral root in Africa. We pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. I mentioned Kemet in the opening. Kemet was the height, the apex, the zenith of African high culture. But there were others as well, as Timari, Punt, and Nubia. So we pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa, of Ghana, Mali, Songhai, Benin, Great Zimbabwe. Civilizations that were flourishing and growing while Europe was in a medieval or dark age. The University of Sankore at Timbuktu, an outstanding educational institution. So we pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the Ma'afa, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the Infakani, the great tragedy, uprooted out of Africa. Our brothers and sisters lay a carpet along the Atlantic Ocean. We're in North America, South America, Central America, and throughout the diaspora. So we pour this libation to our brothers and sisters who suffered the Ma'afa, the Infakani, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the great tragedy. We pour this libation in their honor and in their memory. We do not know their names, but because of them and their sacrifice, we are here. So we say Ashe. We pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. If you ever heard me do a libation, you will know that we were not slaves. I repeat, we were not slaves. We were captives. What does a captive want to do? Get free. So we pour this libation to all those men and women who fought against enslavement. In fact, I maintain that some of us are more of a slave today than we were in our initial captivity, because some of us are a slave to vice, to corruption, to drugs, sex, and violence. So we pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement, Gabriel Prosser, Nat Turner, Dingmark Vesey, Harriet Tubman. We always resisted. And we will always resist. So we pour this libation in the name and the honor of those men and women who fought against our captivity. We pour this libation to those unborn, those young men and women who will once again lead us back on the stage of human history as a free and proud and productive people. We sashay. We pour this libation to brotherhood and sisterhood together for the union of family. We need each other. We don't have good family life there's a saying, conditions shape conduct and consciousness. The conditions in our community are bad. The conduct towards each other is not good. Because why? We lack consciousness. And consciousness is more than just awareness. Consciousness is a deeper understanding of who you are historically, who you are culturally. So once we begin to understand the importance of brotherhood and sisterhood together for the union of family. Brothers and sisters, let us all say, Ashe, Ashe.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at Time for an Awakening.
Good morning, African world. You are listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. And I am your host, Brother Oshie. Hotep family, hope everything was well with you today. Hope you had a great weekend. Hope you had a chance to do all the things you wanted to do, must do, can do, should do, and will do. And I hope the weather was accommodating for you to do it. But of course, if it was not, and you know it had to be done, then you know you did it. Because that's the kind of brother and sister that you is. That's why we admire and respect you. Because you will get it done. Always. Ashe. This is African Perspectives. We're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., 10 to 12 Central, 9 to 11 Mountain, or 8 to 10 Pacific, or any other time around the world. But if you cannot listen to this program live, you can always go to our archives at timeforanawakening.com at the top of the page. You'll see podcasts. Click on that. In the drop down, you'll see African Perspectives. Click on that, and there will be programs that are dated and titled. But of course, there's a shortcut way to do it. That is, put in Baba Oshie, BABAOSHI.net, BabaOshie.net. We'll get you right to those programs as well. Because if you go to timeforawakening.com, you can see all the other programs we have there that you might want to check out. Baba Oshie will take you right to Baba Oshie. Other programming that we have here on Time for an Awakening Media. On Monday evening, all times are going to give our Eastern Times. From 6 to 8, Acres of Diamonds, Public Affairs Programming out of Philadelphia with Jihad Ahmed from 6 to 8. Then from 8 to 9, Black Therapy Central, Dr. Mawia Cambon and her daughter, Nataki Cambon. And then from 9 to 10, Conversation, Reparations with Brother Jamoke and Sister Lacey of Encobra. On Tuesdays, from 8 to 10 on Tuesdays, Black Reality Think Tank with Dr. William Rogers. On Wednesdays, the Black Farmers Report. On Wednesdays, the Black Farmers Report from 8 to 9. If it's Friday and it's 8 p.m. Eastern, it's Time for an Awakening. Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard on Fridays at 8 p.m. Check them out. Saturday from 4 to 6, Sister Talk with host LaWanda Chambers on Saturday. And then Saturday from 7 to 9, the Sankofa Elders Council. And then once again, back on Sunday at 7 p.m., Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. And the number to call is 215-490-9832. That's 215-490-9832. We Buy Black. We Buy Black. The largest online marketplace for American African-owned businesses is WeBuyBlack.com. Brothers and sisters, get everything you need from American African-owned businesses from WeBuyBlack.com. Brothers and sisters, they have these packages that you can buy. I'm not sure what the cost is. Like a little starter kit. And they'll be delivered to you free if you get them. The laundry detergent's in there, the toothbrush, all kinds of good stuff in the packages. Go to WeBuyBlack.com and check it out. Africa for the Africans. Africa for the Africans, Brother Bomani Taimba, who's been taking our people to the motherland for many years. He has a trip upcoming next month, November 18th through the 29th, going to Tanzania, 18th through the 29th. And then another trip, December 24th to January 5th, 2022, to Ghana. Then April 1st to April 11th, 2022, to Senegal and Gambia.
and then May 24th to June 5th, 2022, to Ghana once again. These trips are $3,700. Oh, they're $3,800. It's been updated. They're $3,800. Hey, to me, it's still a good price. Justifiable price to eat up to by $100. $3,800. Brothers and sisters, go to AfricaForTheAfricans.org. If you want to see pictures of previous tours, go to Facebook.com/Bomani. If you want to see videos of previous tours,
may be recorded or transcribed.
If you want to see videos of previous tours, go to YouTube.com/Bomani2007. AfricaForTheAfricans.org. Habashah Incorporated, Habashah Incorporated. The brothers and sisters at Habashah Incorporated, they're doing the work. Unbelievable, great work here in the Atlanta area with the programs that they have. The Habashah Works Program, Black to Our Roots, Sustainable Seeds, Golden Growers, and the Urban Green Jobs. All of these things that Habashah is doing. And of course, on the continent, in Ghana, the Kashi Project that's happening. So if you go online to Habashah Incorporated.org, you will see the work that is being done. Okay, so check them out, Habashah Incorporated.org. The LEDGE Group. LEDGE stands for Land for the Environmental Development of Group Economics. The LEDGE Group. The LEDGE Group works with the areas of human existence, the four areas of human existence, which is food, water, clothing, and shelter. They have 12 projects in six countries with over 170 employed and over 260 members. Brothers and sisters, you should become a member. And, of course, membership has its privileges. You can buy land in Tanzania for $250 an acre if you become a member of the LEDGE Group. You can buy land. Something to really consider. The LEDGE Group. Also, too, they have a repatriation program going on, as well as BB Atuma. They have a repatriation program. You know, you brothers and sisters, you might want to make this move. Others have made it. Stevie said, I'm out of here. Stevie wonder if I'm tired of this madness. Yeah. BB Atuma. BB Atuma. ABIBITUMI.com or BBAtumi.com. Brothers and sisters, go to the website. You'll be inspired by it and all that they have to offer, the events, the groups, the forums, the language classes. You can learn Kiswahili from beginners to more advanced. You can learn the Medu-Netcher. That's right. You can learn to read the Medu-Netcher and the Khan language, which is tree, and others. So, brothers and sisters, go to BB Atuma. .com, ABIBITUMI. And of course, they have a repatriation to Ghana. Reclaim your birthright connections. Yeah. Okay. Homeland Village. Homeland Village Cultural Gift Shop in Macon, Georgia, 2910 Napier Avenue in Macon, Georgia. The number to call is 478-256-1166, 478-256-1166. They have all the things that you need. If you are in the Macon, Georgia area, please stop in at Homeland Village. Brother Abijah is a good brother. I met him, and I want to get him on the line one day because he has a great place, man. They do all kind of stuff there. It's also a community event center, of course, where they do structural meditation sessions. I have a chess club, healthy cooking classes. They do have a restaurant. They have a restaurant. They sell furniture. They sell clothing. They sell CDs. They sell books. Tennis lessons, story time for children's, homeschool meeting place, drum classes, roundtable discussions, periodic pilgrimage. And they go to Baba, Dr. John Henry Clark's gravesite in Columbus, Georgia. I remember when I first moved here, we did that. That was beautiful. You know, I love Dr. Clark. Without Us, Healthy Marketing Juice Bar, located on right here in the West End area. I'm located on Ralph David Abernathy, right across the street from the Shrine, up the street from the Shrine of the Black Madonna, across the street from Soul Veg. They have delicious smoothies and vitality drinks and wraps and soups and pies and all kinds of good stuff. They have vegan food on Wednesdays. Excuse me, not Wednesdays, weekends. Wadada's Healthy Marketing Juice Bar. Give them a call at 404-444-1635. That's 404-444-1635. Wadada's. Medu Bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall. Mama Nia has a nice place, a lot of space. In fact, a couple of weeks ago, of course, Mama Bayina Bello from Haiti, in her book, The Sheroes of the Haitian Revolution, presented her book and had book signing and talked about, you know, the sheroes of the Haitian Revolution. I kind of touched on that this past Friday in my presentation about the weekend's fundraiser at Black Dot Cultural Center. And I'll talk about that in a second. But the Medu Bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall, give Mama Nia a call at 404-346-3263. If there's a book that you're looking for and she doesn't have it, believe me, she'll get it because she has a fine selection of books. Postcards, greeting cards, gift certificates, T-shirts, all kinds of good stuff. 404-346-3263. The Medu Bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall. The Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore in Lithonia. Brother Gazemde had a Founders Day program this past Saturday. Unfortunately, I was incapacitated this weekend. And I couldn't participate in any of that, of the festivities, but I understand it was a great turnout and everything went well. And I'm so happy to hear that. The Founders Day program, they have jazz and good speakers. And then on Sunday, yesterday, they had the fundraiser for Haiti. Brother Bookman and Brother Andre 360 and many others, you know, and of course, Kwaku Lumumba, outstanding young man. And brothers and sisters, go to the website COSSA, K-O-S-S-S-A, three S's, COSSA, K-O-S-S-S-A.com, and make a contribution to help our brothers and sisters out in Haiti. Us lifting us to economic development cooperative for our people in the spirit of Ujamaa cooperative economics. First, we like to say family-centered economics. Their Thursday night broadcast every Thursday night from 9 to 10 on Blog Talk Radio. That's Blog Talk Radio / Us Lifting Us. If you want a call to listen or you have a question or comment or concern, you can do that by dialing 929-477-2789. That's 929-477-2789. Us Lifting Us every Thursday night at 9 p.m. Sun Goddess Scents. Sun Goddess Scents, your one-stop natural shop located at 4140 Jonesboro Road in Forest Park, Georgia. It is inside the International Discount Mall, Booth 225. Brothers and sisters, give our sister Shelly Amonset a call at 404-434-7963. They have a fine selection of incense and grooming stuff for your beard and oils and all kinds of stuff, all knickknacks and that kind of thing. Red, black, and green umbrellas. And yeah, give my sister Shelly Amonset a call at 404-434-7963. That's 404-434-7963. Sun Goddess Scents, your one-stop natural shop. Sanjay-Haiti, my sister Gabrielle Aurelia, Sister Gabby, in the rural area of Haiti, in the northeastern part of the island of Haiti. And brothers and sisters, go to Sanjay-Haiti.org and look at the work that they're doing. Look at the beautiful children. They deal with education, health,
sustainable agriculture, and entrepreneurship. Go to Sanjay, SONJAY-HAYITI.org. Sanjay-Haiti.
Akabin Institute. Akabin Institute. My Babarudi, Mama Ya. And we can't say enough about them and what they do and the courage they have to do it. Believe me, I admire them and respect them tremendously. And so, brothers and sisters, I'm asking you to support them. If you're old school like me, you can make a check or money order out to Akabin Institute. You can send it to P.O. Box 10786. That's Akabin Institute, P.O. Box 10786, Atlanta, Georgia, 30310. Or if you up to, you know, you got the PayPal or you got the Cash App or the other money apps, you can send like PayPal. If you got PayPal, the dollar sign, Yah, Y-A-A, the letter M, and then Baruti, B-A-R-U-T-I. Okay? You okay? And you can send a donation monthly. That's what I do. Join me in doing it. Believe me, it needs to be done, doesn't it? You and I both know it. It needs to be done. All right. Brothers and sisters, it's time for the Inye Sesem of Daily Revolutionary Thought. The Inye Sesem of Daily Revolutionary Thought. October 3rd. All future victories will be defeats unless you master this ability to think correctly and to properly discern. Olatunji Lumumba. Lest we forget, wielding power over others through terrorizing acts of death, destruction, and domination is Urugu's nature. It is fundamental to their definition of themselves and the world they covet. We can never assume that they will change because of any goodness purported to be lying dormant in their hearts. History teaches us that they never have, and there is no reason now to believe that they ever will. Every warrior's greatest weapon is remembrance, and it is critical that they remember that we are dealing with a mind that most seeks pleasure, and that pleasure itself mostly through the corruption of innocence. A mind that sees its own damaged self as the ideal toward which all else must be completely turned. It is not change. It is completely satisfied with its twisted interpretation of reality and destructive, evasive behavior. Why would it see reason to change when what they have done and the reality that they have carved out of human skin, what they desire most? Affirm, I conversate to nationhood. Affirm, I conversate to nationhood. October 4th, the hen knows it's daybreak, but allows the rooster to make the announcement. I like that. The hen knows it's daybreak, but they allow the rooster to make the announcement. The Ashanti proverb. There's much to see in our story which reflects the equality which traditionally exists between our men and our women. Ashe. Proverbs like a man chases a woman until she catches him. Or if a man sees a snake, any woman kills it. What matters is that the snake does not escape. And the one above thoroughly brings into mind the sense of all these three is that of unspoken power of both women and men individually, as well as empowered in their duality. These and a great number of other proverbs and sayings speak to the African idea that just because a man is performing a particular task does not mean that a woman cannot do it as well, or even better, or vice versa.
It is more a matter of choice and agreement, sometimes silent agreement, than anything else. Such wisdom often brings out our woman's sagacity, the prudence of these who most often defer by choice, not out of fear or ignorance, but humility, patience, and knowing. These are the statements about the foresight and the insight of women, if you will, relative to the male ego, as she quietly but knowingly allows him to strut about loudly making these pronouncements. Ashe. I unerringly know my role and its contribution to the whole. Affirm, I unerringly know my role and its contribution to the whole. The Inye Sesem of Daily Revolutionary Thought. That's why, really, brothers and sisters, that's how we will win together. Our men and our women together, respecting one another, protecting one another. Our women trusting our brothers trusting our sisters. That's how we'll win. But the way we're fragmented at this time, I know it doesn't look like it. I know. But see, I'm optimistic. I believe we can do this. I know we can do this. But first we got to get out the mindset that we're in. But this is one I've been reading a lot. Let me run this to you again because I think you need to hear this often so you can clearly understand that there is no other historical instance of a formerly captive people who valued integration with their former captors to the point where they completely abandoned the superior wealth of their own homeland. There is no other historical instance of a formerly enslaved people who valued integration with their former captors to the point where they completely abandoned the superior wealth of their own people. There is no example of that nowhere except within us. Now, I could talk about why. And we should know why, because of all of the things that have been done to us psychologically, mentally, which makes us behave and think the way that we do. And you know, realistically, the grip that they have on our minds is more devastating than anything. All the other horrific stuff that has been done, understandable. But what they have done to our minds is even deeper, more so. Many of our great leaders and great scholars said this. Those who clearly understood, and not the ones who were seeking some kind of integration, some kind of favor, some kind of, you know, allowing us to be a part. No, I'm talking about those brothers and sisters who understood liberation, self-determination, sovereignty. They understood this dynamic. You know, they understood it. You know, I do a program that I would dealing with our history. And when Tony Browder came out with his book, Nile Valley Contributions to Civilization,
I took a lot of the stuff that was in there, made transparencies for overhead so that you know how long ago I've been doing that and how old that book is. That book's from the 90s. You know, Nile Valley Contributions to Civilization. And of course, then later on made a nice PowerPoint out of it with my help, with the help of my sister, Queen Ifama. May God be pleased with her. Miss her. And added some things to it over the years. And I periodically, I love to have the chance to do it as often as I can, you know. And now that I would definitely incorporate Great Pyramid K 2019. If you have not seen Great Pyramid K 2019, if you have not seen Exterminate All the Brutes, Great Pyramid K 2019, you can get that on YouTube. Easy. Exterminate All the Brutes is on HBO. You know, with the, with all this talk about critical race theory, I'm surprised you can still probably get that. And, of course, the Muhammad Ali documentary that I watched last week, all 8 hours of it. Well, I love Muhammad Ali. In fact, as I was channel surfing the other day, and I was tired of watching football, I came upon the movie The Greatest. The Greatest with Muhammad Ali that he starred in, or that I went to see them, that I went to the movies and seen. Yeah. They had Ernest Borgnine playing Angelo Dundee. Can't remember this cat that was playing Ferdy Pacheco. And Brother Mosley, he was playing Sonny Liston. And it's his life when he first starts out. He steals his bike and he trains to box and he goes to the Olympics and he comes back. You know, all the how Muhammad Ali is, all the braggadocio stuff, you know. And the sister, I didn't realize it at the time. Didn't remember, of course, because I haven't seen the movie since that time. It's 1977. But the sister that plays Belinda, Khalilah Ali, is the sister that played in the Mac, China Doll. Yeah, I was like, whoa, okay. And, yeah. Yeah, Muhammad. And, of course, it chronicles his life up to the Rumble in the Jungle with Foreman. It ends, pretty much ends there. Muhammad Ali. But if you haven't seen the documentary, brothers and sisters, I would suggest you find a way to do so. So three documentaries I'm suggesting that you get a chance to watch. Hopefully that you do. We'll talk about them. But in the book, there's some quotes by some so-called founding fathers of this country. Benjamin Franklin, Thomas Jefferson, Abraham Lincoln, and Henry Barry of the Virginia House of Representatives, Virginia House of Delegates, you know. And these quotes are fact-checked. They're fact-checked. And they're fact-checked by Reuters fact-check. An old image that is recirculating on the social media, and that's how I got it too. Somebody sent it to me because I've been sending it out for years, shows quotes on race by the founding fathers, Benjamin Franklin, Thomas Jefferson, Abraham Lincoln, and the member of the House of Delegates, Henry Barry. The quotes contextualized below are accurate. These quotes, are accurate. One example of the post, shared over 12,000 times as of July 3rd of last year, is visible here. Benjamin Franklin. The post attributed the following remarks to Franklin. Why increase the sons of Africa by planting them in America, where we have so fair an opportunity, by excluding all blacks and twanies of increasing the lovely white and red. This quote comes from a 1751 essay entitled Observations Concerning the Increase of Mankind. This passage is visible in that essay. There's an essay attributed to Benjamin Franklin. But, I the bottom line is it doesn't make any difference of what era, who said it. The bottom line is that's who they are. That's who they are. I have no respect, no honor of these so-called founding fathers of this country. They're the same evil ass. The same. And they had no originality. They took from all others. They've always been taken there. That's what they do. They take. They co-opt things. Appropriate things. That's what they do. Thomas Jefferson. Thomas Jefferson said, the Post attributed to the following comments to Jefferson. I advance it, therefore, as a suspicion only that the blacks, whether originally a distinct race or made distinct by time or circumstance, are inferior to the whites in both endowments of body and mind. Jefferson made these remarks in the Notes on the State of Virginia, published in 1785. And there's a full text on what I read about Franklin as well as Jefferson. You know, just reading these little captions is good enough, because basically it just substantiates the feelings of that we really already know. But the point I'm making here is that we believe that somehow that these Europeans, these Caucasians, will change their behavior and begin. They'll have an epiphany and begin to treat us right, treat us with respect, and nothing is furthest from the truth. Annette Gordon Reed, a Pulitzer Prize-winning lawyer and historian who has written extensively on Jefferson's relationship with Sally Hemings, told PBS that despite Jefferson later walking back some of his statements from the notes, there's little evidence to support the idea that he ever held non-racist views of African people. They all did. The argument, of course, back then, well, that was the time. You know, that was the time. Where did that come from? Surely that wasn't the attitude of Caucasians at the time that they were land poor, resource poor, and people poor during the so-called medieval ages, when the Moors were the only light that was happening in Europe. When these African Moors were civilizing them, like we civilized them during the time of Kemet, when the Greeks came down and studied from at our feet in Kemet. Everything that the Greeks, everything that the Europeans, everything they got came from us. And yet we've been trained to believe we had never done a damn thing. That we were running around the jungle. That's right. With a rag up our ass, that's right. And a bone through our nose, that's right. Never having created a civilization of any kind, of any note, of any worth. Because when you are bombarded with that mindset, it becomes a fact to you. You believe it. You don't even seek any other resources. You don't even seek out any other ways to find out whether it's true or not. You believe it. You've been trained to believe it. Abraham Lincoln. The poster attributed the following quote to Lincoln. There is a physical difference between the white and the black, which I believe will forever forbid the two races living together. While they do remain together, there must be a position of superior and inferior. And I, as much as any man, am in favor of having the superior position assigned to the white race. Lincoln made these remarks during one of his series of debates in 1858 with Stephen Douglas, when these men were vying for the control in the Illinois General Assembly. In the same speech, Lincoln said, I will say then that I am not, nor have I ever been, in favor of bringing about any way the social and political equality of the white and the black races. He said, you don't want them voting. I don't want to make no jurors out of them. I don't want to do nothing. See, one thing you got to understand, people say, well, yes, the Civil War was fought because of slavery. No, it was not, damn it. Not the fact that we were enslaved. It was fought because of the free labor economy of the South against the emergence and industrialization of the North. It was economics. It wasn't because of we were enslaved. It was not fought on that, because if it was, once we were free, how would we treat it? How would we treat it in the North and any damn place else? It wasn't the fact that we were in captivity. Lincoln said himself, if I can solidify the Union without freeing these people, I do so. I do it. These folks have never cared about us, nor ever, whether we were free, captive, or whatever. In fact, as you and I both know, in recent decades, they wish we would just disappear. They would love for us to just disappear. Because number one, they don't like competition. They don't like competition. And the greatest threat to European men is African men. That's why we suffer most often. Look at Atlanta here. Sisters here come here all the time. They move down here all the time. A lot of sisters are starting to be discouraged from doing so because there are no men. Where are the men? You know, this being the American African gay capital, where are the men? Where's my compliment? Where's somebody for me that I got a degree, I got a bachelor's, a master's, hell, a doctorate. I'm in corporate America. I live out here in this neighborhood, gated community. I drive this kind of car. Where is my compliment? Yeah, it's a good question, isn't it? Where are the men? No, it wasn't about us being free. Never. And of course, it wasn't about, the war was not about us being in captivity. These Caucasians didn't fight each other. They didn't kill each other. Although we fought on both sides. We fought in every war. Every war. We fought on both sides during the Revolutionary War. Because if you're in that situation that we were in, they come to you and say, listen, if you fight, I'll give you freedom. Okay, I'll fight. That's the British. If you fight, we'll give you freedom. Okay, then I'll fight. That's the, you know, revolutionaries. And of course, that's not so. These folks are liars. It's a damn shame when we come back from World War I. It's a damn shame when we came back from World War II.
Korea, Vietnam, Afghanistan, whatever. Doesn't make a damn bit of difference. Lincoln, best known for the Emancipation Proclamation, a key moment in the process of legally abolishing our captivity. I say that paper ain't worth the paper it's printed on, you know? Ain't worth the paper it's printed on. Doesn't make any difference. Henry Louis Gates, what the hell are you doing here? Henry Louis Gates, American literary critic and historian, is one of a number of American African scholars who has written on the apparent complexities that define Lincoln's views on the institution of slavery and its relationship to race. So what? Man, I don't know about you, man. I can't stand Henry Louis Gates' ass. I can't stand him. He's had some good series on PBS. A few of them good, pretty good. I mean, I watched them because they're good documentaries. He always speaks in the third person as if he ain't that. Well, that he ain't that, you know. But he's the one that they give, you know, the microphone to, the camera to. See? They ain't giving it to somebody without the right mindset. You got to know that. I know you know that. This is the one I thought was all, you know, that was most pointed, was the Henry Berry of the Virginia House of Representatives, of Virginia House of Delegates. The Post attributes the following to Berry. This, brothers and sisters, I think is pointed deeply. It's where we're at. We have, as far as possible, closed every avenue by which light may enter the captive's mind. And if we could extinguish the capacity to see the light, our work will be complete. They will be on the level of the beast of the fields, and we will be safe. We have closed off every avenue by which knowledge of self can enter the captive's mind. Make sure that you can't read, and control what you read if you can. Make you not want to know. Make you reject those who bring you knowledge. Make you argue. I often mentioned when I was on Blog Talk Radio, and this brother would call me from St. Louis, and we would get into it. I used to cut him off. You know, because I told him, I said, man, this is ludicrous, man, arguing with you about whether or not we should be free, about whether or not we should be independent and self-determining, liberated and sovereign. That's crazy, man. That's ludicrous. Tell me how we can do it. We may have differences of how we can do it, but that's what must be done. Arguing with somebody about whether or not, hell, you know we should. You a fool. But if we could extinguish the capacity to see the light, we can make you not want to know. If we can make you reject those who bring it, we got you. We got you. We got your mind. Then you will be as the beast of the fields, and we will be safe. That's just like, I don't know if you ever seen on PBS, Brother Future. I came to understand, I didn't see it, another documentary just like Brother Future, this time with Harriet Tubman. I think I need to try to find that so I can check that out. And this has been so long because I think Brother Future is the early 90s. And this deals with a young brother in Detroit who's a hustler. And he's having these dreams, you know. But he got his hustle on. So he's in school daydreaming and so forth. And so he rips off electronic stores. So now he got the new CDs. CD players and stuff like that, you know. So he's on the corner rapping with his buddy and selling the stuff, and then the cops pull around the corner, you know, and they're shaking folks down. So he runs, and he gets hit by a car, and he's transposed back to 1822 South Carolina. When he awakens by this big tree, the first thing he sees is a young brother running in rags and shackles. He's like, wow. Then these two Caucasians, they come upon him and they take him in. They think he's a runaway. He keeps trying to explain to them, no, you know. So, yeah, Brother Future, you got to check it out. Denmark Vesey, it's the Denmark Vesey, 1822 South Carolina. And Denmark Vesey's playing. You know, Denmark Vesey, who had bought his freedom and was saving up to buy the freedom of his wife and children. And, of course, he was planning a rebellion, and he was killed. He was hung. It's, yeah. Yep. And so the lady in the big house, you know, played by Vanetta McGee. I love me some Vanetta McGee, man. Fine, fine sister. And she plays a sister who's psychic. And so she sees that this young man, and she knows he ain't supposed to be there, but he has something to do, you know. In fact, when he was bought by the so-called master, he was turned over to the one brother who was young TJ to kind of support him. And then, you know, turn over to TJ. And there's a, TJ has a girlfriend, and he likes her too, because she's, that's the sister that played in Color Purple, that played, Whoopi Goldberg's sister, Nettie's sister. And so he understands the situation. He tries to help TJ by reading. He wants to read. He said, man, you can't read. See, the thing about TJ was that he's a smart dude, but he's into this hustle. You know, that was important to him. You know, didn't want to deal with history, didn't want to deal with school. You know. So he taught Josiah how to read. And then he ran away. And the overseer, Zeke, just whooped the shit out of him. I mean, really bad. And so he was summoned to go to the Massa. And, you know, sometimes in a movie, brothers and sisters, there's a line, there's a something is said that is very pointed, you know. And in this movie, the Caucasian said there's a certain order in this world. There's a certain order in this world. I am the master, you are the slave. That must be maintained. And what I'm saying to us is, even today, I know we don't want to believe it, we don't want to think it, but that order has been maintained. The only way that order can be disrupted is that we don't buy into it, that we reject it, that we reject every damn thing that these crackers have to present to us. We reject it all. A certain order in this world. Well, of course, he helps Josiah and Caroline escape to freedom. And just as he was by that same tree where he entered, he was shot. He falls down and he wakes up back in Detroit. And his buddy, he said, yeah, I met Denmark Vesey. You met Denmark Vesey? Yeah. Did they make it, Crutch? No, man, they didn't make it. But others did. And others will too. And we will too. Yeah. We will too if we embrace the knowledge of self. We will. We will too. Yeah. Henry Barry made those remarks during an 1832 speech before the Virginia House of Delegates on the abolition of captivity for of us. Barry, who was a slaveholder himself at the time of his 1832 speech, advocated for gradual diminishing of the prevalence of captivity of us, ostensibly toward his eventual abolition. Slavery is a grinding curse upon this state, and suppose would have been admitted by all, Barry said at the start of his address. Yet I am for maintaining the bonds by which we hold this property now, he remarked later on. The evil of slavery was gradually entailed upon us and can only be gradually removed. Yeah, right. Yeah. We do this in our time. We don't do this in nobody else's time. We do this in our time. If we feel it's moving towards that, we'll move towards that. If it ain't, we ain't moving. And that's how the mentality is. And for additional readings on the Founding Fathers' views towards slavery, you can see them here. But these true quotes of Ben Franklin, Thomas Jefferson, Abraham Lincoln, and Henry Barry, that are true. They are true. It was fact-checked. Because a lot of people don't want to believe that these people, and even us, that these people are the way they are and who they are. You know, we're going to take a break. When I come back, I was looking for Fred Price. Fred Price, I think he died this year, earlier this year. Fred Price, pastor from L.A. And I was looking for his piece that he did on Monopoly, on the Monopoly game. Can't find that. I got another piece I'm going to present. You know, there are some preachers that are, you know, strong in terms of social justice and so forth. And then, of course, there's some. Their whole idea is you just believe in the Bible. You know, everything will work itself out. You know, what's happening to us is just unfortunate. It's just by design. You know, just continue to believe, pray, and it will all work itself out. Yeah. Even as I'm watching the piece with Fred Price, understanding for me, you know, as adamantly I'm against Christianity and Islam, all of it, all the religions, because I think for us, if you are a particular religion, you don't suffer because of your religion. You suffer because you're African. And so, to me, if you gather strength because of your faith, that's fine. But your faith doesn't change a damn thing in the reality of what we are experiencing. Now, does it? Now, you can argue, well, it does for me individually. Yeah, because that's the kind of religion it is, individualistic religion. But it doesn't for us collectively, and that's what we are, a collective people. And so the religions that we've embraced, we got to put them in the back pocket, keep them at home. Come to the table like Malcolm said. If I came to the table talking about El Islam, there are going to be problems. If you come to the table talking about Seventh Day Adventists or Black Hebrew Israelites or whoever, there are going to be problems. Keep it in your back pocket. Keep it at home. Come to the table with sincerity that you're going to do all that you can to help liberate African people. that you're going to do all that you can to help bring into existence African sovereignty. Brothers and sisters, we're going to take a break, as we should. As we should, we always got to take a break. And when we come back from the break, I'm going to play that Fred Price, please. Tongue tied. I'm going to play that Fred Price piece. And then open the phone lines up. Whatever you want to talk about, whatever you want to discuss, we can do that here on a Monday. You know, I know Wednesday, talking about Pan-Africanism again, there's an article that I read that I like. Got it from Brother Mickey Dean of the National Black United Front, the International Affairs Chair. Brother Mickey Dean, good brother. He's been on many times before. And so he'll be the guest on Wednesday. So hope you can join that conversation. So, brothers and sisters, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com, and blacktalkradionetwork.com. Be right back.
You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshie on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
All right, hold on.
Bye.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters. You're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. Other programming we have here on Time for an Awakening Media on Mondays, all times are going to give our Eastern Times from 6 to 8, Acres of Diamonds, public affairs programming out of Philadelphia, followed by from 8 to 9, Black Therapy Central with Dr. Mawia Kamban and Itaki Kamban. And then from 9 to 10, Conversation Reparations with Brother Jamoke and Sister Lacey of Encobra. On Tuesdays, Black Reality Think Tank with Dr. William Rogers from 8 to 10. And then on Wednesdays, the Black Farmers Report from 8 to 9. If it's Friday and it's 8 p.m., it's Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. And then on Saturdays from 4 to 6, Sister Talk with host LaWanda Chambers. And then from 7 to 9, the Sankofa Elders Council from 7 to 9. And then on Sunday at 7 p.m., once again, Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. And, of course, the number to call is 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. Yeah. Ah, tell you, all these little technical difficulties I be coming up with here, man. I'm trying. Believe me. I am trying. So now I'm trying to get back to where I had my piece. So now I got to find it again, brothers and sisters. I tell you, it's always something, ain't it? It's always something. Yeah. I tell you, here we go. No, that's not it either. Man, I tell you, I had it. Now I don't. What did I do? Try to make sure I did nothing that was. Well, anyway, so piece on religion by. I really want to play that particular piece. I wanted to play the piece that Fred Price did on using the analogy of the Monopoly game, where he said that. You know, in the Monopoly game, everybody gets some money. You know, at the beginning of the game, this is the deal, right? Everybody get, what, $150 or something like that? Well, in the game that we played with these crackers, we got nothing. And, you know, when you start to go around the board, you know, if you don't have anything, you can't buy nothing. And, of course, you're subject to being penalized with taxes and put in jail and so forth, you know? Let me try to find that. I'm going to take me a break again, okay? I'm going to play a little something. And then by the time I come back, we'll have that. Yeah, I'm going to play this little something here.
Please, Mr. Groove, won't you come back? Won't you come back? Please, won't you come back? Won't you come back? Please, won't you come back? Hey. I'm gonna go to the bathroom.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters. That's right. Al Hudson in One Way. You had it both ways, the first cut and the last cut. Al Hudson, One Way. All right, we're going to do this thing with Fred Price. Hope this turns out right. Bear with me.
Can't work together. Won't work together. They have purposely, insidiously planted the distrust of one black for another, because they know that if we ever get together, if we ever become one, we will become dangerous. Instead of relying on the white man, we'll rely upon our own abilities and our own resources. But as long as they can keep us dependent upon them, then we never come into our own. Professor Stamp points out this fact, and I quote, "Here, then, was the way to produce the perfect slave. Accustom him to rigid discipline, demand from him unconditional submission, impress upon him his innate inferiority, develop in him a paralyzing fear of white men, train him to adopt the master's code of good behavior, and instill in him a sense of complete dependence. Many of us, we won't even accept anything from another black man until the white man has given his approval. We have been the most loyal people to this nation than any of the immigrants that ever came here. We have fought in every one of America's war and then got treated like dogs after it. And then the nation has the gall to decide whether or not we should apologize to them. maybe we ought to declare war on them, and then maybe that'll get them to apologize. You took a group of people, brought them from their own native land, stripped them of their character, stripped them of their heritage, even stripped them of their family ties, purposely so that they couldn't get into agreement with each other. Took the father, grabbed him and sent him north, as it were. Took the wife, sent her south. Took the kids, sent them west. Took the other kids, sent them east. Split them up. Christian people did this. So-called Christian. Claimed to be Christian. Couldn't have been Christian. Couldn't have known God. They could not know God and do that. Then you kept them in bondage and from 1619 to 1865. Worked them till they dropped dead. Because there's plenty of more of them in Africa, so just kill these. You don't maintain. You don't keep them healthy. You don't keep them up. Just let them die and then get some more. That's all. Just purchase some more. You got money, go buy some more. And that's what they did. And then some black folk got the nerve to talk about, we shouldn't talk about reparations. We should let it go. Poor, simple-minded fool. Japanese people who live here in the United States, Southern California area, they shipped them out, put them in internment camps during the Second World War with Japan. After the war was over, through negotiations, they received every person $20,000 each and a formal apology. And our government, our nation, is wondering whether or not they're deciding whether or not they should apologize for enslaving blacks in America. Now, think about this. Now, this is what I'm talking about. See, this nation is wrong. I'm sorry. This nation is wrong. Now, watch this. Listen, here's why they're wrong. Here's why they're wrong. They won't even apologize to the best citizens that they've ever had. Now, listen. It wasn't black Africans from Nigeria that flew over Pearl Harbor on December the 7th and declared war on the United States of America. Approximately 3,000 plus Americans were killed by the Japanese on the day of Pearl Harbor when Japan declared war on the United States of America. And then after that, they gave them $20,000 apiece and apology for declaring war on them. And black people have been the most loyal people to the United States. They have never, ever declared war on the United States. Never. Listen. We have been the most loyal people to this nation than any of the immigrants that ever came here. We have fought in every one of America's wars and then got treated like dogs after it. And then the nation has the gall to decide whether or not we should apologize to them. Maybe we ought to declare war on them, and then maybe that'll get them to apologize. I mean, right is right, doggone it. Right is right. That's just downright criminal. We have fought in every single war. We have been butchered and destroyed and shot up and come back to this country and couldn't even get a job. Just because we were black. And you say you're going to decide whether you apologize? In God we trust. What God? Yes, you need to pay for slavery. Your grandparents and your great-great-great-grandparents, they did it. And you ought to pay, just like you're paying for everything else that your great-great-grandparents did. Come on. All the contracts and legal paraphernalia that they did with other nations and countries has bound the United States by certain limitations. You have inherited that. How come you don't squawk about that? Only about paying for slavery you squawk about. America, your problem is you need to get saved. Then they've worked this thing on us where we can't work together, won't work together. They have purposely, insidiously planted the distrust of one black for another, because they know that if we ever get together, if we ever become one, we will become dangerous. Dangerous in the sense that we will begin to take charge of our own destiny. Instead of relying on the white man, we'll rely upon our own abilities and our own resources. But as long as they can keep us dependent upon them, then we never come into our own as humans, and above all, as true Christians. We African Americans have been, ever since the beginning of slavery, superbly brainwashed. It is a fact that the Willie Lynch letter cannot be historically validated. However, if we go by history, the principles outlined in his letter have been at work among us in no uncertain terms. Even though the Willie Lynch letter cannot be historically proved to be authentic, there is another document that is similar in its purpose. Now, whether it's true or not, in actuality, I can't say. I've searched everywhere. There is no actual historical validation for the authenticity of the Willie Lynch letter. But whether the letter is authentic or not, everything in that turkey is in operation and has been for the last 400 years. They have worked a royal game on us, and they are still working that game today. In all, 40, conservatively speaking, 40 to 50 million Africans were abducted or killed by our white American and European foreparents, end of quote. We get upset and righteously indignant, and rightly so, when we think about Adolf Hitler and the annihilation of 6 million Jews during World War II. But who gets righteously indignant and upset about 50 million black Africans who were abducted or killed by the forefathers of this nation? People want to get upset. I start talking about this and people get upset. You don't get upset with the Jews for having the Holocaust Museum. Where be the Holocaust Museum over 50 million black Africans? What about the black Africans? See, that's the reason why so many blacks are ashamed of their ancestry, because we have been very subtly, all through the years, almost 400 years of this, implanted subtly, subliminally in the minds of a lot of you, you don't want to know nothing about Africa. You think that's really a no-no to know anything about Africa. Because, see, the media, through the power structure, has always portrayed Africans as somebody running around with a loincloth on, bathing in a river and hanging from a tree, swinging from tree to tree. Tarzan and the apes. And so we've been ashamed. See? You might as well fess up. Don't sit there looking at me like that. The reason I know this is because I used to be one of them. Until I got liberated, until I got set free. Now I know I'm black and I'm proud of it. On page 148, Professor Stamp points out this fact, and I quote, "Here then was the way to produce the perfect slave. Accustom him to rigid discipline, demand from him unconditional submission, impress upon him his innate inferiority, develop in him a paralyzing fear of white men, train him to adopt the master's code of good behavior, and instill in him a sense of complete dependence. They worked a game on us. You know it's the truth. It's pitiful. Many of us, we won't even accept anything from another black man until the white man has given his approval. See, that's where the problem... See, that's how it's got to stop. And you white folks know it. That you have relatives and friends and loved ones that talk us down and talk about black folk like they got tail. And you just smile and cheese it up and you don't say anything about it. You wouldn't do it because you don't feel that way. But you don't say anything to your loved ones that do. So they feel that they have a license to continue to do it. The thing has to stop.
I say, Red Price. Yeah. It has to stop. But the only way it will stop is that we make it stop. That we purge ourselves out of the ignorance and the self-doubt and the fear. That's what grips us, fear. Brothers and sisters, join this conversation at 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. And the phone lines, of course, are open. And whatever you want to talk about, we'll talk about. But I wanted to get those things in. Because on this program, I consistently talk about what prevents us from doing what we must do, and that consistently put the onus on us. Nobody outside of us is going to do for us that we can do for and must do for ourselves. The question becomes, when are we willing to do it? When do we get up the courage to do it? When do we develop the will to do it? I'm always emphasizing that word will. At the end of the program, we talk about Bibi Fahodie, up you mighty people, you can accomplish what you will, as Honorable Marcus Garvey said, you can accomplish what you will. We will be victorious. We will. It's firm in my heart. It's firm in my mind. I, of course, truly may not see it. I have more years behind me than I have ahead of me. And so the ones that are ahead of me, I'll do the best that I can to have the consistent message of independence, self-determination, liberation, and sovereignty. The message is consistent. Helping us understand that it's Pan-Africanism or perish. Unify or we die. Clear and simple. Clear and simple. And I ain't talking about America. I'm talking about global. I'm talking about global. The situation that is happening to African people, wherever we are on the planet. So, give us a call at 215-490-9832. We have a few people are on. You can hit star twice and join the conversation. Yeah. So, it's interesting to hear, you know, and I know there are some pastors who speak the way Fred Price just, we heard him speak, you know. know, there's some pastors that are down, and they, as opposed to having a prosperity gospel, they have a liberation gospel, you know, liberation theology. Professor Dr. Cone, and there's a number of others that believe that Christianity can be a liberating force. I don't believe it. You know, and nor do I believe any other religion can liberate African people. The only thing that can really liberate African people is themselves, who are in their right minds, who have embraced the idea of Pan-Africanism. Dr. Clark said, the only thing that will help African people is developing a dynamic Pan-Africanism that is cultural, technological, and spiritual. Cultural. Understanding this, our culture. Not Europeans. Not some deviation of Europeans. Not some other offshoot or something. But ours. That is defined by us. Our culture. Technology. Yes, I understand that some of us don't believe that we're responsible for anything technologically advancing. That's furthest from the truth once again. There are many things that we have advanced in technology from ancient times to present. Technology. And of course, spiritual. African spirituality. Not African religion, spirituality. These are the things that are necessary for us, brothers and sisters, to get ourselves up out of this muck and mire that we are in and have been in for many years. For many years. And believe me, I say it all the time. We can't hope that it happens. We can't wish for it to happen. We can't pray for it to happen. We make it happen. We make it happen by doing for ourselves. Physical energy. So, we'll have to see, right? I know what's important is that we're in this together. Ideally, as far as I'm concerned, is that we as Africans here in America, who are some of the most technologically advanced Africans on the planet, there's some Africans on the continent who are just as adapt technologically as anywhere else, and of course in the diaspora. But let's just say for this discussion that the technologically advanced Africans on the planet, wherever they may reside, they want to use those skills to bring Africa into the 21st century. They want to use those skills to assist Africa in becoming a player in the world, as opposed to the pawn that we have become. And then, of course, once we become players, we have to do for ourselves. We can't cry about nothing. We can't whine about nothing. We can't ask nobody for nothing. We're doing this ourselves. right there on the continent. Now, I know I'm not naive. I know that climate change has affected this whole planet, and there's issues on the continent, like there are issues everywhere with heat and drought and rain and mudslides and so forth. But when we go in there, our whole mindset is not about making money. Our whole mindset is about doing what is best for the continent, developing it to its maximum potential, being able to feed the people on the continent and possibly literally the world, being able to link the continent up with railways, highways, being able to develop ports to do business internationally. Because we got resources that people want. Building airports, some of the major areas on the continent. All these things that have to be done. You need to read, brothers and sisters, some of the books that have been written about what has happened to us, like Walter Rodney's book, How Europe Undeveloped Africa. Some of us believe that this was just meant to be because we were a backward people. No. And how the European came in and just ripped us off. Just took the resources. Took the diamonds. You know, I tell you sometimes when I, you know, because they know that you know they're always going to show England. They're always going to show England. They're always going to show their ass. The royals. All that they have is stolen from Africa. Europe is what it is because of Africa. Many have been honest enough to say it, but they don't want to apologize for it, and they sure in hell don't want reparations. You heard Professor Price calling out for reparations. Now, for me, once again, and I've stated this and I will continue, I'm not for reparations individually, even though I know there have been some brothers and sisters who've been in abject poverty for generations. For generations. But I'm saying, I'm sorry. The resources that we want from the European, because reparations contained in that is repair. The word repair. We are going to repair ourselves as a people. Not individually, but collectively. We're going to repair ourselves, build institutions, teach, train, prepare ourselves. Prepare some brothers and sisters to do serious manual labor, building roads, highways, trains, airports. This is what we must do. This is our destiny. This is our destiny. And for those who want to stay here and deal with this, fine, you do that. I would hope that you have enough sense to say, even though I'm not going, I'm here. I'm going to do my thing here, but I support those brothers and sisters over there. I support all those who came from the diaspora. All those who came from the diaspora to go home. And all the Negroes on the continent who don't want to be a part of the Renaissance of Africa. who don't want to be a part of the United African States. You go where you going, go where you want to go. But to me, there is no place on this continent that we can literally claim us for ourselves is the continent. The Caribbean, we can't do that. And why would we want to give up one of those islands for a continent any damn way? Give up a continent for an island. No, it doesn't make sense. So, this is the threshold that we're on. As far as I'm concerned, this is the threshold that we're on. Either we bold enough to take those steps across it and begin to work together to build Africa for ourselves and control its resources, control its land, managing it, and then come a period of time, welcome the world to it. You want to visit Africa? Come on. You want to go on a safari? Come on. You want to look at some of the beautiful cities we have? Come on. We can build that future. We're not supposed to, all these millions of us under the rule of Europeans, the smallest number of people on the planet controlling the greatest amount of wealth. It's ridiculous. It must stop. You know, this is theirs. America is theirs. There's no doubt about that. The indigenous people, Native Americans, ain't shit they can do. There ain't nothing they can do. There ain't nothing that we can do. You talking about picking up arms to fight these folks to stay here? You crazy? I wouldn't pick up a pebble to fight these crackers to stay here. Now, I would do all I can to fight for Mother Africa. All that I can. Even in my state, old as I am, if I got to do some swinging, I'll swing. Because I recognize that is our salvation. That is our salvation. That is our future. That is our eternity. And we can make it happen. We could make it happen. I believe we will make it happen. No, I may not see it. I would be happy, though, to know that it is coming, is being formulated. People are working together. People are talking. People are doing. People are starting to make those moves. Love to see it. Love to see it happen. Didn't get one caller today. Some people are on there. They were listening. But it's okay. It's okay. Believe me, brothers and sisters. I'm happy whenever anybody calls or listens or whatever. But I'm gonna be here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern. I'm going to be here. Because just as the European has consistently beat you down with information about your inability, your inferiority, I want to beat you up with words of encouragement and knowledge of self. But you clearly understand that it is within you. Now, I understand all as well that some of us want a group, hopefully it's a group instead of an individual leader, to come and assist us, come show us the way to go. I'm looking at a cadre of leadership, a group of leadership of men and women who truly have the interests of African people at heart and mind, and have already made those sacrifices . See, I don't know about you, this kind of world that the European has made is evil. Today on the news I was watching, and they talked about the many people who have stashed away billions of dollars. Billions of dollars. Used to be in banks in the Caribbean. There's been some banks here in this country. I think, I don't know, what was it, Idaho or South Dakota, who are willing to tell the IRS that, no, you can't find out about so-and-so and the amount of money that he has, that he's hiding. And the trillions of dollars that they stashed away that could have paid the taxes to help alleviate a lot of the problems that happen in this country. It's ridiculous that they're fighting over what needs to be done in this country in terms of infrastructure. It's ridiculous. I hate the politics of this country. I hate some of these individuals. Because of how the politics are played. It's a good example of what for us not to do. And why this two-party bull is, we don't need that. We need a central government of individuals who are there to do the bidding for the people and the land of the country, not for a particular party. Seen this thing about lobbying. He said, yeah. Lobbying is what other countries call graft and theft and corruption. For real. Because that's what it is about. Put a name on lobbying. The whole idea is for you to find a way for you to buy a politician to get him or her to put forth legislation, to put forth votings for your particular product or your particular industry or whatever. Man. Brothers and sisters, I got to get out of here. Once again, I appreciate the time. Hope you have a blessed and wonderful day. We end this program like we end all of our programs with the words of Stephen Biko, the most potent weapon in the hands of the oppressor is the minds of the oppressed. This program is dedicated and committed to helping to free the African mind, not just the M-I-N-D, but the M-I-N-E, because under the feet of African people lies all of the resources that everybody wants, think they can't do without, and they sure in the hell damn it don't want to pay for. Brothers and sisters, you have a blessed and wonderful day. Shem Hotep means go in peace. Asante Sana means thank you. Bibi Fahodie means our victorious destiny. Brothers and sisters, we will be victorious. You have a wonderful day. Peace, family.